Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. That's one of my favorites, Bobby. Mama's in the graveyard, Papa's in the pen.
Well, we are at the castle in Lexington, Kentucky. And we're with the V Bocce Tournament, raising money for Kentucky and a Friends of V. And we've got a lot of celebrities moving around. We got some people dancing, starting to check in. We're going to grab Coach Madison here and see if we can't get him on. Or Big Jim Andrews is here also. And I see Coach Emery walking down. He looks like he's all ready to go. And so, bocce arms, man. Guys are loosening up for bocce.
Can you play bocce in the rain?
Absolutely.
It just started to rain here.
Well, we got some cover over there.
Okay. We've got indoor courts and outdoor courts.
Yeah. Okay. Coach Emery he's bulletproof. He doesn't even need an umbrella. He just shows up without an umbrella. But, hey, I tell you what, there's some interesting things we didn't talk about. Ohio State's struggling, particularly on the defensive end, right?
Yep.
And Michigan seems to be rolling right along. Michigan is a team that everybody is kind of going like, where'd they come from? Because they all thought Harbaugh was out. You know, they wanted him out. He couldn't get it done. He'd been there, what, 6 years, 7 years. Michigan seems to be in the Big Ten with Ohio State struggling. You've got Iowa playing well, Michigan playing well, and my team –
The
Spartans.
That was your bet of the weekend.
The Spartans of Michigan State.
Weren't they getting like 17 points at Miami?
I don't think it was that many, but
it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
There were a lot.
And they won the game outright pretty easily.
And then I forgot Penn State. They were impressive against Auburn. I thought that was a heck of a game. I thought Auburn was impressive. You know, it could have gone either way. Both two really good teams. So the Big Ten looks like it's going to tighten up because Ohio State – you know, they got issues up there, Dan.
Well, did you see what happened? Their defensive coordinator has been under fire.
Oh, and under fire?
and after the game, they announced that he wasn't calling the defensive signals for that game. It was, I think, the defensive back or somebody was calling the defensive signals. So you do have problems when they don't let the defensive coordinator call the defensive signals, that's for sure. And that was a tight game. Who'd they play? Toledo?
Tulsa.
Yeah, that was a tight game
Tulsa in the ball game.
Until
there's no question.
Toward the end, yeah.
You know what's even probably harder for Combs, the defensive coordinator at Ohio State, what might even be harder, not only did they take his play calling away, they banished him to the press box.
Press box.
he goes from the field to the press box, and now he looks around the press box. Everybody's looking at him and goes, you're a dead man walking.
That's right.
Get your resume out.
You don't even need to put a headset on. you're toast. You're toast.
Poor guy. Golly. I swear, that is really something, what's going on up there. Hey, they may end up winning it. I don't know. I tell you what, Penn State's going to be – they got to play Penn State a tough out, and then Michigan. End of the year.
Yep.
I mean, you can see the Buckeyes not making the playoffs.
Well, they may not make it now, but if they lose another game, I guarantee you they won't be in the playoffs.
Well, they've got to find their way to the championship game. Now, question is
the Big Ten.
The Big Ten championship game.
Yep.
Can they even get there? You know, they got Penn State, they got Michigan. Can they get there?
And if they get there, they got to play Iowa.
Yeah.
So
looks like Iowa all the way. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
So
big the Big Ten will be fun to watch from here on out.
What about Saban calling his players out, calling his team out after the Florida game? I thought that was quite interesting. Called out the D. Too many mental errors.
You know, that seems to be something that's happening in all of football, not just college football, professional football. Did you watch any of the Charger-Cowboy game yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Mike, the Chargers should have won that game. They had over 100 yards of penalties. And the kid that the quarterback, Herbert, for the Chargers,
right.
He looks like the real deal to me. Boy, can he throw the football, and he can fit it in. I think they had two long passing touchdowns taken away because of penalties. I think one was there was an illegal receiver downfield. I forget what the other one was. But how can a professional football team have over 100 yards of penalties? That's unbelievable.
You can't win.
No.
You can't win. You know what I liked about the Chargers? Go back to the AFL. A lot of people don't remember the American Football League. But the Chargers with the lightning bolt on the side of their helmet was really cool. Lance Allworth, remember, they called him Bambi because he could jump over people and catch balls.
Well, he didn't weigh 170 pounds.
No,
he was a tiny guy.
But now they've screwed up the helmet. That makes me mad, Dan. They put numbers on the side. I just like the lightning bolt, man. They got numbers on the uniforms. Why you put the numbers on the side?
Exactly.
It just messes it up.
Exactly.
Just one or the other. I don't care. I love the lightning bolts, but if you want to take it off and you want to put the number on, that's okay.
Yeah.
But not two, man. Yeah. What do you think? Give me your thought. Do you even care?
No, I don't care. What difference? What difference does it make? I know one thing. They spent $5 billion building SoFi Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth every penny.
It looks great on television.
It is so much fun to watch a game. And they had the aerial view, so now I know exactly where it is in reference to the Forum and where the racetrack used to be.
Yep.
And they had some great aerial shots. But there's something indoors. I don't know if it's the cameras they're using, if it's the light that gives them the ability. But it looks like it's in 3D. It really is fun to watch a broadcast there. So
that cost $1 billion. Now, our guy Ballmer.
$5 billion.
$5 billion. Our friend Ballmer is now going to build his own arena because he wants his brand to not be tied to the Lakers at the Staples Center.
And he's going to build it the same place.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten this. We talked about this on Friday when we talked about Ballmer. And, you know, the Forum that they made into a music venue, and it was owned by Madison Square Garden. And so when Ballmer...
They own the Forum?
They own the Forum.
I did not know that.
And when Ballmer said he wanted to build his arena out there, the guys at Dillon and the guys at Dolan, and the guys at Madison Square Garden went nuts and said, oh, no, you can't do that. We've got an exclusive here with the city of Inglewood. You have to. And so you know what Ballmer did?
He bought the Forum.
It would have been cheaper to buy the city of Inglewood, but he bought the Forum. He bought the Forum so there wouldn't be any lawsuits.
That's crazy.
So now he owns the Forum, and he's going to build an arena for $2 billion right across the street.
That is, money talks and BS walks, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Man, I tell you, that guy.
Isn't that the truth?
But he's going to have his hands full keeping that Clipper team together. I've been reading some things about that. You know, they all want a bump in the salary, okay? And they all want the max contracts. And I can't blame them. I'd want it, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, after a while, you catch a team, I think. Tell me, you managed, you were GM in that league. You build a team, you get it to a certain point where you like the team and you're winning games, and all of a sudden contracts come up, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that just kind of ruin the atmosphere? I mean, everybody can't have a huge contract.
A max deal.
Yeah, you got to have some Chiefs and you got to have some Indians.
Yeah, and what scares me about that Clipper team is their best player is Kawhi Leonard. I mean, you can talk George all you want to, but Kawhi Leonard's their best player, and they cannot keep him healthy. And he put a lot of miles on that rubber in San Antonio and taking Toronto to the NBA championship. I just wonder if he's not breaking down a little bit.
He might be. He might be. And guys do that. He's like a guard. He's playing like a guard, not a big guy. Big guys last longer.
But he's
a guy that gets up and down all the time and takes a hit. You know, it's quite a toll on the body. So Ballmer, but he's got enough money. He can trade them and take a loss, or he can buy a new player and pay them. I mean, you know, the guy's got money, man. He's going to buy him a championship. I don't care what anybody says. He will buy himself a championship.
Well, with a new arena, and you know it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
It'll be just like SoFi. And so with that and being able to recruit to L.A., I had my fill after 3 years. I was done with L.A., but a lot of these people think that that's a great place to be, a great place for the weather's phenomenal. And so he's going to be able to recruit to the Clippers, there's no doubt.
Well, if you want to make a 15-minute drive into 2 hours, you got to love L.A., right? You got to love L.A. Let's get Coach Emery over here on the microphone with us. We're at the Kentucky and a Friends of V Bocce Tournament, and Coach Dennis Emery, former coach at the University of Kentucky in tennis. I think he's in the Kentucky Athletics Hall of Fame, and the guy has turned pros out and still teaches. And he still teaches and plays.
Yeah.
He and Macy play all the time.
Yeah.
And you've been great to help us out here with the Kentucky.
And I have heard you're a real ringer when it comes to bocce.
Well, I'm not a very experienced player, but I played once. I played 2 years ago.
Experience doesn't count in bocce.
Yeah, well, apparently not. So, yeah, but I loved it. A lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you here. You've done a terrific job helping us out up here with this event.
Thank you. I have a question for you. Is bocce, is that an indoor or an outdoor sport?
Well, it depends on if it's raining. Because we've got outdoor over here and we've got indoor over there.
And we're going in, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, somebody might. They may play the loser's bracket outside.
All right.
Good. So were you at the football game?
Don't ask me that. No, I didn't go, Saturday. First game I've missed in a long, long time.
Really?
Yeah, first time. I love going to the games. And
you have something better to do Saturday night?
Not better, but I had something to do.
Okay.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, you know, one of Coach Emery's jobs is a fundraiser at UK.
Yep. Yep.
And I know that he's brought some people here for us that he has got involved in the program. And that is probably made a whole lot easier if the Kentucky team wins a few games here. That Chattanooga game was a step backwards.
It's a blip, you know. I really think that we're going to play.
Do you really? You think we're going to bounce?
I do. I think we've got a great team. I think that game is a little bit of an outlier, and I see us having a fantastic year.
Do you sense that maybe the team got a little – I mean, everybody is influenced by the people around them. I call it family, friends, and fools. And there's good in all of that, and there's bad in all of that. But these kids hear everything. They hear how good they are, how good the team is. And they really – you know, they just played Missouri. Did they get a little lackadaisical, a little overconfident for this ball game?
I would think so, you know. I mean, that's what I saw, but – I think we got a great team.
Do you really?
Okay, I do.
Good.
I think we've got a team that's going to go to a great bowl game. I think we got a team that can be competitive with Georgia. You know, I wouldn't say we can beat Georgia, but
We have played them well at times, and we upset them. I don't know how many years ago it was. And I was at that game.
I feel like this is our year. I feel like the schedule.
Really? Before we can get excited about Georgia, I think we have to get past Florida. I don't know if you saw any of that game against Alabama, but Florida's pretty darn good.
Yes. I get it, but I love our team. As Cal would say, I love my team.
There you go. Now, one of the projects you're working on that is very near and dear to our hearts is the renovation of Memorial Coliseum. Tell us where that is and how that's going.
Well, we're looking, you know, for a big donor. You know, we need somebody to really step up, you know, for that project. But that project is a fantastic project, as you know, has just a special feeling because of the memorial piece of that project.
Right.
So I think the people in the athletic department realize that. They've really tried to emphasize that, and that makes it special for me.
Well, if you go to Notre Dame, I don't know if you've seen a basketball game at Notre Dame.
Never have.
But they have one section of their rotunda, the walk-around area between the top seats and the bottom seats, and they've made a really neat, I guess you'd call it Hall of Fame or historical Hall of Fame for all their basketball and other sports. And it starts and stops right in the middle of the whole thing. So you got to walk around it. You got to look at it. And they've done it so well that if you can, and we have sporting events at the Coliseum still, okay? Plenty of sporting events. If we can make that really nice and people want to come and they want to spend time looking at all the historical events, I think that's wonderful.
The thing that jumped out at me about Notre Dame.
You saw that.
I loved it. I know exactly what you're talking about. Was there was a grandfather who was there. He was probably 80 years old. And the way they've done their Letterman's display in there, and he had taken his grandson there, and they were pointing at his name the way
really?
They had done it.
Oh, that's
great.
Cool.
And it's just really special. Now, I know Notre Dame football is a special thing. This is for all sports, but this guy happened to be a football player, so that made it even better.
Dennis, one time, there was a basketball museum in it wasn't in Rupp Arena. It was what's the area they call between the Hyatt and the Rupp Arena, Lexington Shops or something.
Yes.
Did UK have anything to do with that? Was that a private enterprise? But it didn't last too long.
No, I believe that was a private enterprise. We've actually gotten a lot of the stuff from that. You know, when Van Florence passed away, obviously now, but we've gotten a lot of that stuff. So we can put that stuff back up.
That's great.
There you go.
I mean,
there
it's going to be an all sports venue, though. It's not going to be just basketball, right?
Right.
Okay, so you'll have some football, some volleyball, and all the previous athletes.
Yeah, when they get to that point to do that, yes.
Good.
Well, let's get that money raised.
Let's
get that money raised. That'd be that would be something that'd be very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for stopping by,
Coach.
Thank you,
Dennis.
We appreciate everything
soon.
You've done here for Kentucky and a Friends of V. You've been terrific up here.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks, Dennis.
Well, we started to get a pretty nice crowd going here. I see our friend Ralph Hacker. We need to try to get Ralph on sometime here, when he'll join us after the break maybe. And we're starting to – and it's kind of a stop-start rain, Dan, but I'll take the outside courts. You know, the water probably will stop at the ball when I release the bocce ball. Might hit the ground and stop it, and I'd be perfect. Right next to the Polino, brother. That's what you got to do.
See, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's why I threw it at you. I looked on your face.
Now, the Polino, is that what you said?
Yes.
Polino, that's the ball?
Little white ball.
Now, do you throw that out there, or does somebody put that out?
Somebody starts the game with throwing the
Polino. By throwing that out
there. Yeah.
Then you get points for throwing your ball closest to
That's right. And you can take turns knocking my ball away from it.
Can you hit the Polino?
Oh, yeah. Wow. You don't want to, unless you want to move it around. If you want to move it someplace where your opponent's team isn't, you can move the Polino. But you really, once the Polino's there, I mean, the team that threw the Polino wants the Polino there. If you're trying to beat that team, you can move it around, yeah.
Oh, I see.
It's like, and you kind of want to build a wall around the Polino because you don't want your opponent to get closer than you.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes your opponent
So it's a little bit like shuffleboard.
Yeah, croquet, shuffleboard.
Croquet?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't hit it, but, I mean, it's you've got to put the ball through the – you got to put the croquet ball through the loops, right?
And this game was popular or is very popular in Italy. That's where it got its start.
Before we go to the break, I may have told you a story before, okay. But I got to tell you about bocce. When my mom was
One thing about getting old is your stories are always brand new to me, Michael.
She was in the Cleveland Clinic, and right not far from the Cleveland Clinic is a Little Italy section of Cleveland. It's an enclave. It's still there. You have restaurants and some bars, and that's and then it's in the middle of the neighborhood that the Italians settled in Cleveland. So it's really cool place. And they have a rec center at the top of the little enclave here. And my brother and I were up there with my mother, and so we went and had dinner, and we started walking around. And up at that rec center, they had three bocce ball courts. And this is like 7:30 at night on a summer night. All three were packed with people, locals, playing the game.
Playing bocce.
They had the little Italian cigars, some of them, you know, the little crooked ones.
Yep.
They were drinking wine while they played, and the crowd was there, and it was a night out. For the folks who lived in the little area,
sure,
called Little Italy.
That's fun.
And so, yeah, it's still a hot spot, man.
That's fun.
It's beating croquet for the game. No more croquet, all bocce.
All bocce. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, we need a break, but before we go to break, let me tell you about my friends who may be searching for your dream home. Be sure you get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com, NMLS number 8259, equal housing lender.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. Now, Michael, our next guest, we might have to explain this radio stuff. It'd be all new to him. We might have to explain to him exactly how this works. Mr. Ralph Hacker, voice of the Wildcats. How are you, Ralph?
Legendary voice.
I'm doing fine. I'm just thinking about all the many times that we've sat behind a microphone together, all three of us separately, together, whatever it happens to be. It's been fun.
You know, Dan, Ralph and I did the Ohio Valley Conference package. It was the first one that did the evening on Friday nights. Was that right, Ralph? What was it?
It was Saturday night. And the outcome of that, just think about the outcome of that. At the time, you had the SEC would have a game on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then the Pac-10 would have one on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, their time. And everything was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We were the very first ones to ever do a game out of that realm. And we did it at midnight,
yep,
Eastern time, 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. And after two or three years, the Pac-10 said, wait a minute, that's our time slot. So that's when they cut out the Ohio Valley Conference and started doing games damn near around the clock.
Around the clock, yeah.
At that particular time. So it was all because Mike wanted to stay up late at night.
Yeah. Well, those days are over.
Well, you know, we wore our pajamas for the opening game down at Murray. Right. We had pajamas on.
I think I saw that.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Because that was, you're right, Ralph, that was a big deal to have a game on that late at night.
It was. There was just nobody doing it. We were the only game in town. And the fact of the matter is, Jim Delaney was the commissioner of the Ohio Valley Conference. And he ends up looking for a way to get the Ohio Valley Conference on television, and he couldn't get it. nobody would carry the Ohio Valley Conference. They tried it one time with a guy named Marvin Mews, who was the professor at Western Kentucky University, put the things together. And I did those games in the afternoon, but you only had like three or four stations. Well, Ralph Gabbard, who ran Channel 27 here in Lexington, and Jim and I were sitting there, and he said, Delaney says, well, Ralph said, why don't you do them at night? And Jim said, would you care? And Gabbard says, there ain't no way. And Jim said, what will we do? And he said, well, did you ever think about midnight and going to ESPN? And with that, Delaney said, that's a pretty good idea. Delaney went to Bristol, Connecticut, talked to the people at ESPN, and convinced them to carry the games. Well, we probably drew, I'm going to say, a 0.5 at the most here in the Eastern time zone. Out west, we're drawing a 2.5. Which was reasonable writing, reasonable cable ratings back then. So we were much bigger on the West Coast out there, Mike, than we were here on the East Coast.
Well, I used to get cards and letters from all my fans on the West Coast.
Well, you know, when I'd go to the NCAA, you know, with Kentucky, and we were playing somebody from the West Coast, invariably there'd be a coach, you know, or teams there from the West Coast, and invariably the coaches would all come up and say, you're the guy that does those games at midnight. Yeah, that's me.
Now, of course, you worked with the legendary Kaywood Ledford and then took over for Kaywood when he retired.
Well, nobody would ever take over for him. It'd be like taking over for you when you left the University of Kentucky. I did my best to fill his spot, and not very adequately, obviously. But, you know, last night I was watching the Muhammad Ali thing. It was on KET.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And three different spots there last night. There was Kaywood Ledford either interviewing Muhammad Ali, standing there interviewing him, or sitting there with his legs crossed with a cigarette dangling, as you know, as he always did, while Muhammad Ali was doing a press conference through everybody else. And I knew that they were close because one time at a football game, Muhammad Ali came, and Kaywood says, you need to go interview Muhammad. So I piled out of the press box, and he's just coming down through there, and he jumped back like this, and I introduced myself, and I said, I worked with Kaywood Ledford. He said, Kaywood, my main man. What my main man, Kaywood? And so Kaywood's hanging out of the press box at the UK football game, slapping high fives with Muhammad Ali. So Muhammad Ali was like the rest of us. He held Kaywood Ledford in the highest of esteem.
You know, I saw that, read something about that show. I don't think we've talked about it on here, but it's on public television. And it's a documentary about Muhammad Ali.
Yes, Ken Burns documentary. Absolutely, last night they had the first 2 hours of it. Absolutely excellent. I would recommend anybody who's a fan of Muhammad Ali or just good television that they watch these. It's telling a complete story rather than one that's been fabricated.
Right, right. Yeah. Ralph, give us a timeline. You started doing the games when Coach Hall was coaching.
Yeah, I covered you guys as freshmen.
Right.
You know, you guys, you know, on.
You were over in Richmond.
Yeah, I was in Richmond. I came over here, and then I started doing the freshman games, I guess, in 66, and y'all were playing varsity by then. But we did those things, and then I worked with off the air with Kaywood, keeping stats, doing things like that on the road. And then when with Coach Rupp, I did a lot of things, you know, did a lot of things over there with them. It was a practice nearly every day. And somewhere along the way, John Ray, doing the football, John wanted somebody from Lexington on the football games because they had Kaywood from Louisville and Jack Cook from Louisville was on there. And John wanted a Lexington person on there. And I was doing the high school games, and we did freshman football. And John said, I want Ralph on there. So I went on there with that. And then the next year, I started – Joe Hall took over, I guess, so those were in 2 years – took over for Coach Rupp, and I started doing the games there, I guess, Joe's first year. So I was around, you know, from 66 on to 2002. So
wow.
That's a long time.
Wow. Long time, Ralph, long time. Well, we appreciate you stopping by and visiting with us. And, you know, what? Both of us go so far back to you that, you know, it's just like old time, man. It's just like old time.
I've got to mention one thing. Every time I see you or hear your name, it reminds me of the Brandy Burger Broil commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little greasy spoon on Nicholasville, wasn't it?
No, it was on Harrisburg. Across Michelle's bike. Now, I think it was McDonald's there.
There's a McDonald's now.
Right, and Dan's wife was from out in that area. Sherry was from out in that area.
Yep.
And that was Dan's hangout. probably all he could afford at that particular time.
No question.
15 cents.
Well, you hanging out there, man. They must have been giving away free burgers. That's all I can
tell. Well, that's what I was trying. That's what I was trying to do.
And name, image, and likeness back then.
Nothing has ever changed. Not with this one. Nothing has ever changed. Or with you, I might add.
Yeah, you know what? You're amazing. I can't believe you can remember Sherry's name. That's the.
Well, you know, somebody asked if I if there are any basketball players I haven't met. I said, yeah, probably. Back in the 30s, and probably some I didn't know, but I always made it a point to get to know the people. And people ask me now what it was like back then. I said, the difference, as Tom tells me, and what I know from back when I did it for all those years, we all became friends. We all became family. If somebody needed something, we all tried to help them out. We knew your mamas, your daddies, you know, your brothers, and you all knew my family. And it's not like that anymore.
No.
And I think that's probably the reason we've all stayed close all these years.
Well, I'll tell you, the UK fans have been blessed because they've had Kaywood and then you and then Tom Leach, and I can't think of anybody that has had three more legendary broadcasters than you three.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you very much. You know, one time when Issel was and you were playing for the Colonels, I was down there for the state high school basketball tournament. And Issel comes out with Gilmore, and they're shooting around, and he comes over and he says, interview me. My mother-in-law wants to hear me back in Lexington. So I'll never forget, I asked him a question. It was off color. It was taped off color. He just looked at me and laid back. Well, I hadn't seen Artis Gilmore in 25 years, and he played in the golf tournament here in Lexington a number of years ago, and they were introducing us all, and Gilmore comes up to me, and he said, you're the one who got the best of Issel.
Well, Ralph, thanks for coming by and visiting with us, buddy.
Right,
enjoy your bocce ball, Ralph.
Oh, yeah. One of my all-time favorite sports.
It's a great cause. We appreciate you.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you, Ralph. That's great.
Dennis Embry's got a couple gold medal-winning athletes, if I can get his attention. Let's get Dennis over here and introduce our guest, our special guest, right? All right, you got the mic. You can introduce our guest and pass him around. How are you all? Good.
Are you ready?
Oh,
yeah,
we're ready.
We're on the air. Go.
Well, Will Shaner and Mary Tucker, and Will was the gold medalist in the Olympics this
That's
year
great.
In rifle, and I have to apologize. I don't know the event.
The 10-meter air gun event.
Okay, and then Mary Tucker, who won the silver.
How about that? Wow, what a honor to play, to participate in the athletics, now, in the Olympics. You guys got to be happy.
Yeah, how did you get involved in this sport?
Mine was actually because my grandfather.
Put it a little closer. There you go.
Yeah, so mine was because my grandfather.
Okay.
He competed in the Army for, like, long distance shooting. Then it's like when I turned 8, well, we found, like, this 4-H program. He just kind of threw me in there to see how I would do. And then after that, I just kind of took off from there.
That's terrific. Now, we know how successful the rifle team is here at Kentucky because until last year when the girls won the volleyball national championship, the only NCAA championships Kentucky had ever won were in basketball and in rifle.
That's right.
That's correct, right. Yeah.
Now, did that have some influence on you coming to the university?
It did. My recruiting year, Kentucky had a great team. And I was really kind of stuck between Kentucky, West Virginia, and Ohio State. But, yeah, the Kentucky program was really good. It really set us up for success. So that's one of the big reasons why I came here.
Well, Mary, are you from Lexington or Kentucky?
No, I'm from Sarasota, Florida.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, how'd you pick up the sport of rifle?
So I went to a military academy, and they had a team. And pretty much we went to a club night, and my mom said I had to pick a sports team, but not rifle. So naturally, I picked rifle.
And now she's real happy and proud, right?
Yeah, she is. She's very supportive now.
That's great. That's great.
Now, Mary, you're not bigger than a minute. Are the guns are heavy, aren't they?
The guns are pretty heavy. They're about 12 pounds, but I do have shorter ones. So okay. Will's gun's going to be longer than mine just because I am a smaller person.
Oh, okay.
Now, tell us, I'm sorry for our stupidity, but are there scholarships? For the rifle team?
Yeah. So we're just like a lot of the other NCAA sports. We get 3.5 scholarships to split between the team, and there's 11 of us this year, so everybody will get kind of a different amount.
Okay. All right. Depending on how good you are.
Yes.
When does your season start again, Mary?
Our first season opener is the beginning of November, I think November 9th.
Okay.
But Will and I will be in Lima, Peru for Junior World Championships during
Really?
Oh,
how about that?
That is terrific. And I can't imagine what it is like to go over there and win an Olympic medal. That had to be the,
what a thrill.
The best.
What a thrill.
Tell us about her, Will.
It was amazing. You know, we always watch on TV, getting like the seeing like the flag raise, but be like actually being there, being on the podium and watching it from that perspective. It was truly amazing.
So you guys were on the podium. Yeah, that's how cool is that?
And you won the gold medal and you won the silver.
Yeah.
So you're the best and the second best in the whole wide world, right?
yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So, and you don't think that's cool?
It's cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. So
I'll tell you this. If I was you, I wouldn't be fooling with guys like us. I'd be
nonsense.
I'd have my own radio show.
What's going on in Peru? This is a worldwide is it an intro to a stepping stone to the next Olympics or what?
Yes, and so this is the general championships. So this is kind of – the competition at the Olympics for the international stage kind of starts shooting competitions again, kind of getting back on that grind for 2024. So for us, with how our selections are going, these matches kind of help us determine who we want to send to basically bigger international matches.
So both of you will be around for 24?
Yes.
Okay, great. That's terrific. And you got a chance to win another medal. Hopefully you get a gold and a silver.
Or the other way around.
Yeah.
Well, either way.
Now,
yeah, yeah.
Mary, I have to ask you, you have the Olympic rings.
I do.
Tattooed on your arm.
Yes.
Did you do that before you won the medal or after?
So I did do it before. I had intended to do it after, but then with the postponement, they didn't let me reschedule my competition.
I got you.
Not only does she have the Olympic, look at that ring, Dan. That's a national championship ring?
Yes, this is our national championship.
How sweet is that?
Oh, that is cool.
You know, our teams that we played on won three SEC championships, went to the Elite Eight, got beat on the buzzer shot. We were ranked number one in the country. And you know what we got for all of that? Attaboy.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. That is beautiful ring.
Well, congratulations. Thanks for stopping by, and thanks for helping out with the bocce ball tournament today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Okay. Great. Good luck in Peru. Okay.
That's cool. Oh, you've got your medals. I didn't see that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Could I hold it?
Man, that thing is heavy, isn't it?
Man, is that heavy.
Oh. I hope you lock it up.
That is
someplace.
Great.
Oh, no, you got to take care. You don't let anybody else have a chance to steal this. This is beautiful.
Those are great.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank
nice
you.
To talk with you.
Thanks.
Oh, that's great.
There's Coach Harry.
Yes, sir.
Jump on here. We just talked to your star players, Harry.
I'll sit in the rain with you.
There you go.
There you
yeah.
go.
Can you believe that? We're right here at the edge of the tent. The rain's blowing in on us.
Well, tell us, you've got a national championship. We just saw the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a couple medalists, Olympic
yes,
medalists. You've had terrific success with the rifle program. Where does it go from here?
That's a good question. You know, in 2019, we sat there. It was during training camp, 2019-2020 season. And it was in the springtime. Will and Mary had already shot in the first leg of the Olympic trials. You know, we kind of came up with a list of, you know, regular season conference champions, conference tournament, NC2A tournament, Olympic teams, you know, World Cup medals, Olympic medals. And these two just embraced that and just started checking things off the list. You know, I looked at our assistant coach and we even talked about it in a meeting of, you know, what do we put on the next list? You know, of except let's do it all again.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
which is pretty cool. Times two. That's right.
Well, if you do it again, as you do it again during the process, you can always say, "I've been here and done that before. Let's move on." Every step of the way, you've done.
They have, you know, and it's just really neat to watch their journey in all this, of you know, the growth that's happened, you know, not just in these two, but, you know, in the entire team of really working together, you know, bonding and trusting in each other. And just not that they were ever immature, but just watching them grow from freshmen to seniors and seeing that change in them and that development and then being able to be rewarded at the end of it is really special.
Now, how long have you been at UK?
Oh, I come with the building over at Barker Hall. I started school in 82 and went on the five-year program at that point when it
there
was
going
to be on
there
the five-year program and graduated in 87. And the coach at the time was an ROTC coach, and he got reassigned. And I think Mr. Hagan at that time was looking for a rifle coach.
Did you have background in rifle?
I competed for UK.
Did you?
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Great.
And,
you got the coaching job right out of
yes,
college?
Yes, sir, right out of college. I was in ROTC, so I did a little bit of time military training, you know, about 5-6 months, and then came back and been fortunate to do it ever since.
Well, you've done a great job. We told Will and Mary that in doing a little research when the girls won the volleyball championship, mm-hmm. up until that time, the only two sports that had won NCAA championships at Kentucky were basketball and rifle.
But I don't forget cross country.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, let me tell you about Harry's office before we let him go and we get off the air. His office is in the same part of the Kraft Center as Craig Skinner's. And because they both won national championships, they call that national champion row.
Row.
You got to go right down between the two of them. Have you got – I have been in your office. I was in Craig's the other day. But you got your trophy there?
Yeah, one of them is there. We usually keep the championship trophies in their team room, and then the second place trophies are in the assistant coach's office, and I keep the third place trophies in my office just to remind me that, hey, you know, we got to put more trophies in everybody else's office.
Exactly. Well, you got a lot of pride having been on the rifle team yourself at Kentucky, and now you're coaching it. Another national championship, will you hang it up or are you going to keep on trucking?
Oh, no. I'd love to do it for as long as I can.
There you go.
As I'm capable enough to drive across country and to be able to do it, you know, physically and, you know, just the emotional part of it, watching the kids grow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest reward. I mean, it's really neat to see them win championships, but, you know, from the time that they start college to the time that they graduate, the ones that go on and continue to pursue the sport and then the ones that go on and pursue professional life. It, to me, that's a very special reward.
That's immense. What it's all about. And you got two wonderful Olympic medal winners. And in 24, they're going to go back, and maybe you'll send another one.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think it'd be pretty cool, too.
No, I think that would be really, really cool to be able to do that again.
Absolutely.
Well, we're pulling for you.
Well, thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. We'll follow you and follow these two when they're in Peru. Are you going with them?
No. We've got to stay here. We've got the rest of the team. I mean, we've had to make a schedule up around their schedule, so to speak. They're kind of the heart and soul of the team, so to speak, you know, from the numbers. And, you know, realizing that they're going to be really busy this fall. One of the events that they get to go to, they used to call it the World Cup Finals, but now it's called the President's Match, where the International Shooting Sports Federation invites the top 12 shooters in the world at each of the events, and they're going to that.
Wow. Really? Wow.
And then they'll go to the Junior Pan American Games, you know, over Thanksgiving break. So we're trying to work them in and do as much as we can. So they're pretty busy folks.
I was going to say, they got a full schedule here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they do.
Now, do you all ever go, like, dove hunting or anything like that? Have you never been dove hunting?
As much as they probably would like to. I don't want to.
I've been dove hunting.
I don't have that much time.
I've been dove, but I've never done what you've done, but I've done dove hunting.
I need them to practice and study and go compete, so I'm not going to let them go out and do that.
Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for supporting this event.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay.
Coach, it's been great.
Thanks.
Wonderful young folks.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much.
We'll have them back again.
Awesome.
Okay.
That is awesome. Thank you.
Well, Dan, I tell you what, I can't think I've ever met a Olympic medal winner.
I know I've never held.
Oh, no, that was wonderful. That was so cool, wasn't it?
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So,
and we've left some things on the table. We want to talk about pro football. We want to talk about our top 10 college list, but we'll have to have that wait until tomorrow. The rain is really coming down. I think we're going to have to play bocce inside, Michael.
Yeah, well, we can do that, and unless you want to play with the umbrellas.
No.
Okay, we'll do that. Wonderful event up here. at the Castle for Kentucky Elkins of V. And we hope that next year or this afternoon, even in the rain, come out and join us next year, participate, and help us raising money to fight cancer.
We'll be here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Thank you all for listening. This has been Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Radio. Have a great day, everybody.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.